Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha ha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy almost 2019. It's New Year's Eve today? Tonight? Yeah, I think tonight. Holy shit, I hope you're ringing in 2018's last day and hours with a bang. Today's episode, great episode. You know him, you love him, from The Benson Interruption, Getting Doug with High. Doug loves movies. He does it all. He's one of the funniest in the game. And his name is Doug Benson, and it's his first time on the ALN podcast. And boy, did we have a good time. We got Stony Baloney with Doug. We weren't going to, and then we did, because it was the afternoon, and a lot of laughs were had in this one. The full video is up on YouTube, so make sure to check that out, as well as all the clips on Instagram. But this is a great episode. Doug is on tour all over the place. Follow him at Doug Benson on Twitter. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. Brad Williams this weekend is going to be in San Jose. And I'm sorry, tonight he'll be in San Jose at the San Jose Improv. So get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. And then in the new year, Brad is again all over the place because he's on the road constantly. bradwilliamscomedy.com for all his tour dates. Me this weekend, I'm in Portland, Oregon at Helium Comedy Club, January 3rd through the 5th. That's Thursday through Saturday at Helium in Portland, Oregon. Get your tickets at adamraycomedy.com. And then next weekend, I'm in Philadelphia at Helium Comedy Club in Philly. And then the weekend after that in Spokane at the Spokane Comedy Club. So get your tickets and come see me live, adamraycomedy.com. Shop adamray.com for all your Adam Ray merch. I got hoodies and shirts and hats and so much shit, man. And my site's getting revamped. So go to adamraycomedy.com for all stuff me. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your ALN merch, beanies, sweats, shirts. Oh, my nephew Jackson's here. Jackson, what do you say? What's up?
I have Iron Man. I'm Iron Man.
Did you just get an Iron Man for Christmas and Hanukkah?
No. It's from a present from Santa.
Hell yeah. AdamRay.comedy.com for all my tour dates. She-Ra is on Netflix right now. Go stream that. And, of course, Brad's Netflix special, The Degenerates on Netflix. So many great episodes. Oh, the best ofs, the part one and two. Go get those before the new year ends. And so many great guests coming up in 2019. You guys are going to be stoked for our first few months coming out of the gate firing. Subscribe on iTunes, comment and rate on the iTunes page, 5 stars, and leave a comment and email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. And we'll read your emails in 2019 on air. Every other episode and give you a chance to win some free merch. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast, the last one of 2018 with the one and only Doug Benson.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. It's about last night.
Of McGriddles for you.
I see that.
Now, is that like your go-to stoner snack? Do you have a go-to, like you just smoked? What does Doug Benson eat?
No, I don't. You know, I first of all, I don't keep any snacks in the house generally so that I, you know, can't get really high and then just eat a bunch of garbage.
But if you were to.
Yeah.
Well,
if you were on your deathbed.
I'm a huge fan of McGriddles. It's, you know, I've tried no sugar and no bread. I've tried both of those things.
Whoa. Okay.
And there's a little overlap in the two. So, it was a long time since I had a McGriddle, and it's been so long now that I don't think of them much.
Sorry. Well, so what is this like right now? it's almost like not seeing an ex and then running into her at a McGriddle. okay. You know what? Sometimes in life you have strokes on podcasts and McDonald's comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
Now if I'm in the mood.
Try to eat my food without stroking
out. If I'm in the mood for a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like, now I'm into more like if not gourmet ones, at least ones that don't feel like you're eating candy.
Which is what McGriddles is.
So I'll roll through a Jack in the Box before a McDonald's, because I like the breakfast Jack. I like the simplicity of it.
There it is.
It's the only one that's got just a thin slice of ham on it instead of bacon or sausage.
How have you not been in a Jack in the Box commercial?
Well, you know, that's the whole deal, is that people are slowly coming around. Like now, now I get to read ads, you know, for all sorts of things on my podcast.
Yes,
but
right.
If I didn't get a name for myself, then, you know, people don't want to hear it from me.
Yeah. And I feel, you know, like, I feel like
a loser stoner.
Yeah. I feel like Jack in the Box 2 is slowly trying to, like, they have ads where they basically are telling you, hey, this is the stoner meal. Like they have like the late night meal deal, and it's like four tacos or something like that.
It's four tacos, like, you know, a Led Zeppelin cover band ticket.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. You're like, oh yeah, that's for stoners.
A strobe light. I don't know what would come in like a stoner's theme park.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like what kind of,
like, stoner's Disneyland?
Yeah, like, you know, let's the snacks. I would love to know what's there.
I mean, would it just
the rides?
Be all snacks?
Yeah, it would just be snacks.
And couches?
Yeah.
And the most horrifying rides you've ever seen.
Well, that's what I want to ask. How crazy do they get?
Well, because, you know, smoking weed is good for nausea.
Mm-hmm.
So I get high before going on roller coasters all the time.
You
and
do.
And I eat, you know, I'll eat a corn dog and then go on Goliath, and I don't give a damn. Can we swear?
Can we say corn dog on the... Yes, you can. See, I can't... last edible I had was at Disneyland, and I had a major Code Red freakout. A Mountain Dew Code Red freakout.
And this was on Splash Mountain, right?
It was on Splash Mountain. This was on the teacups. But more so, I went up to Winnie the Pooh, which, by the way, when I... just a little throwback. When I was six, I got lost at Disneyland with my mom and dad when we went on a Let's Save the Marriage trip. And and I got lost. And I remember going to Winnie the Pooh, and he took me to the first aid station, lost and found, whatever.
Yeah.
Cut to, you know, 30 years later.
Yeah.
Baked out of my mind, and go up to Winnie the Pooh being like, man, I'm fucking freaking out. My heart's going to pop out of my chest. I'm like doing these motions. Probably kids are looking on, seeing a grown man like going, heart's breaking out. And Winnie the Pooh stays in character and just goes, and I go, break the fucking fourth wall, man. I know you're just a guy in there. I go, I'm freaking out. I go, where's Lost and Found? I go, you helped me 25 years ago. And and then the guy in the suit was like, oh, next to this, you know, and pulled me close and told me.
Oh, so they did break the fourth wall.
See, now I was freaking out.
See, now I'm kind of disappointed.
Why?
Because I don't
think... Sorry to break the fourth wall for you. Winnie the Pooh, not real.
Wait, don't even say that.
Where was the Pooh handler?
Great question.
You mean, isn't there a person standing
by? Yes, Brad used to do that.
That's normally my job. Or that's what I actually did at Disneyland.
Were you the Pooh handler?
You'd walk out with a character and just watch and make sure nobody does anything squirrely?
Yeah. I was a character host for two years.
Wow.
And so,
So you've never freaked out at a theme park or roller coaster park or anything?
No, I don't think so.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I enjoy that stuff very much when I'm high.
Now, and you're born and raised in San Diego, so have you been to the Legoland Park that's near there?
I haven't, because I want to at this point.
You do, yeah. Okay.
Because, but initially it just really felt like it was just for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, but now it sounds like it's a lot more involved than it was when it first opened.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays, like it used to be like, oh, you get past a certain age, like 30 or whatever, and then you just have to drink whiskey until you die. But now it's like you can have some sort of arrested development, and it's kind of acceptable for like a 50-year-old guy to go to a, like, now they have those barcades where they have like video games and bars, and they have
at night the kids can't get in there.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's one great thing, you know, that I'm sure some would say is a terrible thing about our current society, but
is what?
For me, just that adults still want to do childish things and do them. Yeah. There's nothing stopping them. It's big business.
Yeah. Now, you know? Like
video
games.
games. Like, yeah. Adults play those, you know, some of them
probably more
as
than
much
kids.
Or more than the kids do, yeah.
And then you go to, like I've been to a trampoline theme park, and there was more adults there than kids.
For real?
Yeah. There was just guys, like, jumping into foam pits, trying to do a flip for the first time in their life. And, like, there was one dude jumping around with a tie on, and I actually asked an employee about it. He goes, yeah, he's here, like, every Wednesday.
Whoa.
So that's just his,
that's like the guy who sings karaoke by himself.
Yeah.
What's that place called? Injury Palace?
Yeah, right next to Broken Arm Pavilion. Yeah. And so here's just a guy that probably has a job that he hates who goes on his lunch break and says, you know what? I'm going to fucking go jumping on a trampoline.
That's not a bad life.
It's pretty good.
Me and a buddy of mine used to go bowling on our lunch break all the time.
Lunch break from where?
When we worked at the WB network.
You worked at the WB?
Mm-hmm. Were you a writer on one of the shows?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I had to write things for Michigan J. Frog to say, and my bosses would say things to me like, Michigan wouldn't say that. And I go, yeah, because he's from a cartoon where he didn't talk. He just sang songs.
Now
you want him to talk? We can have him say anything we fucking want him to say. the kinds of things he talks about has not been established.
He's not Michigan. Didn't he have a middle name too? Like, it was
Michigan J. Frog.
Michigan J. Frog.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I love how, like, all your jobs involve marijuana making you better at your job. Like, hey, write something for a frog to say. Yeah, I think you should probably be high to do that.
Oh my God, I just go drive around in my car and smoke and then go back into my office and write that stuff. Never had the balls to, you know, smoke in my office, but
yeah.
Really? Is there a job you think you can't do high?
Well, I mean, I think if somebody's good at something, they can do it when they're high, but I just think some people are not good at being high.
Yeah.
Like, do you think any...
You know, like, I don't think the average person should necessarily operate heavy machinery when high, but I bet you the people that are really good at it are probably high.
Right.
You think pilots have been
just baked? To get through it, just to get through long shifts of just doing repetitive,
sure,
dangerous shit.
I hope pilots are high sometimes.
Why?
Yeah, it just makes more sense.
No, it does not. It sounds terrible.
Because you want them to be having fun
up
there?
Not both of them.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, that's why there's two.
Yeah. One can stay sober.
You getting high today, Bill? That's right, Jim.
One can stay sober. I'll set this one out. Yeah. And then the other can stare at the clouds and be like, wow.
Well, see, that's what I'm afraid of. I don't want them to be like, that one looks like boobs and a butt. And then
just like try to fly into it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go off course.
That.
And then you run into another plane.
When people recognize you, Doug Benson.
Doug, light up, by the way, if you want to.
I didn't bring anything because you told me that
I got a J. You want one?
I don't want to. You said you have to like spray the room afterwards.
No, I don't. I smoked you last night. We just can't open the door and scream my landlord's name when we do it.
That should be easy enough. Don't tell me his name.
Yeah, sorry, because the first time I got high in this apartment, I opened the door and screamed the landlord's name and said, "We're getting fucking high in here," and it just ruined it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Now, but like you're someone that when people see you, does everyone come up and just have like a stoner story for you, or just they want to know about weed, or they have like they want to know your stoner stories?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's. You know, it's like, you know, you're known for your size would be like, you know, if there's one thing you had to say about you.
Sure. it's the most obvious thing. So what? Like, not my beard?
But I bet you a lot of people you meet go out of their way to not even talk about that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's why you bring it
like
up a lot.
Like, there's some assholes that'll go right for the short jokes, but a lot of people will just not mention it at all.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I get with the weed thing, especially, like, if we're somewhere... Mm-hmm. Like, I get a lot of winks. Oh, you know, like, I know your comedy. You know, like, TSA people are always, you know...
I won't be checking you this time.
I know. That's the thing, is they don't make that joke. They don't make a joke about how I'm going to be carrying weed.
Yeah.
Because they're they're fans.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So they don't go that way. You know, maybe once or twice that's happened.
Which is helpful, because you don't want that one young rookie narc to be like, what are you guys joking about? Oh, the Doug's probably packing.
Yeah.
But, you know, now you can fly out of LAX with an ounce.
Which is great. An ounce?
An ounce.
Holy shit.
Yeah, see that candle right there?
Yeah.
That's about half an ounce.
Jesus.
Would fit in there.
Okay. So basically you could be a drug dealer.
I love how you gauge weed. You see that Rite Aid candle? That just happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's big time.
Because yeah, and they're like, but we're not, you know, we can't tell you what's going to happen when you land.
Yeah, it's on you. You got to roll the dice.
Don't call ahead, please.
Yeah. Don't tell them that Doug's coming to Texas. Now, so do you map out at this point, because weed is becoming legal in more and more states. So are you mapping out where you should go based on the laws or anything? Or are you just like,
no.
No, you're like, I don't give a fuck.
No, I mean, I'm a little less thrilled about going to a place that doesn't have, you know, legal weed, but every place has weed.
Every place has weed. Yeah. And every place has people that smoke it.
To me.
I was going to say that. You don't ever have to go and worry about where you're going to get it, right?
Yeah. I just worry a little more about, you know, law enforcement or whatever. But also, most big cities now, it's been quietly decriminalized and it's just a ticket or something.
Has a cop ever brought you weed?
That would be the ultimate.
Dude, I'm willing to lose my job for this.
Yeah.
No, but Todd Glass brought a cop into the green room. I think an ex-cop at this point, but he did bring a cop into the green room. Because there's a cop that I used to know, Todd and I both have known for a long time, but Todd's good friends with him. That's how I know him. But he just brought him into the green room, and I just sat there the whole time he was in there being like, please leave. I really have something I want to do in here. It's not the blue room, cop. It's the green room.
Right.
Can you control most emotions when you're high? Because I heard this rumor that Justin Timberlake was stoned when he got when he was on Punk'd and he got like his house repossessed and all his shit. And to me, that's
his excuse for sitting down on the curb and crying like a baby.
It might be.
Yeah,
that was his excuse. There's no way that.
Yeah,
there's no connection there.
Okay,
you miss your shit or you don't. Like being high doesn't change it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I would think if you were high, that might make that situation better. And now we're killing Doug Benson with a big riddle. Do you need to be Heimlich? Sorry, we're laughing as you're dying. Here lies Doug Benson. Fuck that McGriddle.
And didn't he talk about how he doesn't really fuck with these anymore?
Well, now
this is the last one.
Oh. Now
it takes another fight. Yeah. You gotta finish it.
I mean, it you're not gonna let the McGriddle beat you, Adam.
One down.
Do you have a go-to way of getting high? Are you a joint guy? Are you an edible guy?
I like joints.
As he reaches for one.
Yeah, but I love your lighter too.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you mean my log cabin dad lighter?
Yeah.
Hey, kids, I'm starting a fire and maybe having some fun when you go to sleep.
Yeah.
All right.
Doug, what was growing up in San Diego like?
I still need a minute.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Sorry that McGriddle killed you.
Hey, you guys know each other. Talk about yourselves.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, this reminds me when Sandra Bullock was here and had a Jumbo Jack, and that almost... And that almost took her out.
Really?
Yeah.
She choked on it?
I'm just trying to think of all the celebrities that we've almost killed with fast food.
Yeah.
Well, I just Susan swallowed Sarandon funny. It could have been any of these items.
could have been
the healthier stuff, like the gummy bears. I just swallowed like that. I could feel this one piece of...
Is it still there?
...of bread going up and down in my throat.
Need more water?
No, I got it.
Yes.
Doug's back.
No, I'm good, but yeah, I just get that thing where like my eyes water, and then also, like this happened to me on the Joe Rogan Experience. I'll just choke on air even sometimes.
Why?
What?
Just because, you know,
you'd think your lungs would be like...
I got a lot going on with my sinuses and allergies and shit.
Wow.
So yeah, so I can just I don't choke like in a way that feels life threatening,
right?
Mm-hmm. But my eyes water up, and I lose my voice briefly, but.
Yeah, because it blocks your air passageway, right?
Huh?
I just think that's the quintessential stoner response for anything.
Well, that's the thing is I got that go to where whenever I'm in, you know, any kind of show in front of the audience, especially when there's you know, other people on stage or whatever, mm-hmm. is that if they say something and I just whether I do understand what they're saying or I don't, I can get a laugh off of, you know, just saying what.
That does, yeah, that does kind of help in terms of being a stoner.
Can you get that?
Obviously, his
mechanical
skills.
It's just a series of gags that you guys pull on me, you know, like.
We basically
try to eat this burger without dying.
Yeah.
Try to smoke that joint without crying.
We basically have the Home Alone house just like set up.
There's matches too.
Pink can.
there's matches in that box.
What?
There's matches in that box and you can.
Oh yeah, I can see them down there. Yeah. But you gave me this.
Yeah, I thought I gave
I
you
gave
options.
This thing that doesn't work. You know how to make it work? Is the safety on? Is that what's going on?
Push the lever up and then and pull the thing at the same time. There you go.
There you go. I got it.
Okay. I can light it again if you want.
Chris Porter turned me on to these types of prepackaged joints. There's a buddy of his that runs a shop over on Cahuenga. And that's my story.
I feel like I'm witnessing Popeye eat the spinach right now.
Oh yeah, shit's about to get way funnier.
That was Popeye's thing. If I'm gonna do your podcast, have a bunch of spinach around.
Yeah, I
also, if I'm gonna eat a McGriddle, I should have smoked first.
Yeah, no one wants to taste, you know, what's inside, yeah, of it.
Well, now I'm just gonna, you know, get hungry again. Right away.
Doug, I will say you are brilliant. Like, you just commenting on like always having being able to just be like, huh, and like navigate through, you know, conversation. But like, man, the way you navigate your Doug Loves Movies podcast is fucking really impressive.
Well,
there's a lot going on top of you just running the whole program and being funny, but then having to, you know, get the give and take between guests and the game. And
there's, you know, mistakes are made on occasion, but like people in the audience always want to like look everything up on their phone when I'm not sure about somebody's answer or something. But mm-hmm. I like it to be what I think is right or wrong,
yeah,
and we'll
right.
worry about it later.
Yeah.
Like, it should just be my, like, it's you invite your friends over to play a game and you're that guy,
yeah,
that just runs the game.
Yeah. And
whatever he says goes, you
yeah,
know?
And I don't like being at someone's house and someone like busts out a game or something and then like a game of Scrabble and then you always have that one guy that's like, hold on, let me Google the official rules. No.
Rules
fucking,
of the house.
Yeah.
However the house remembers the game is played.
Yeah.
That's how you play.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's a certain way that you play Chutes and Ladders, then damn it, that's how you play it.
Yeah. It's, so it's, you know, and, but then also I'm very strict. I like, you know, with movie title answers, there's so many crazy subtitles in movies now with all the sequels.
Right.
That it's fun to make people have to say that. They can't just say.
So you can't just say Austin Powers. You have to say Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
the full title.
Yeah, because if you just say Austin Powers, which one do you mean? That
exactly.
Those two words are in three different titles.
Exactly.
Is there some sort of
ashtray kind of thing? You know what?
So far, I've just been eating the ashes off the end.
Here, use this coaster.
I'm a really polite
guest.
Can you
get my hand in that coaster?
Here's one right here.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. I'll take this coaster.
Okay,
then.
So just put it on there.
Yeah.
Just
put a little pile of ashes in the middle of that coaster.
I don't want you to smoke alone, Doug.
There you go.
Oh, you're going to smoke down there, too?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a bunch of these babies, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks
and
for that.
I'll just get the contact high off of
all right.
both of you.
Are you out of the game?
No, I'm in the game.
Okay.
But I...
Not now.
You know what? Fuck it.
Not today.
It's Doug Benson and Adam Ray.
It's upper week,
don't
too.
Tell me you've got like a meeting or an audition or something later.
No.
Okay, then go ahead.
I just have to fly a plane.
I don't want
to
be...
Well, it's a plane to you.
Yeah. Actually, I am going on vacation later today, so I'm going to be on a plane for 12 hours, so I probably should have a joint.
Oh, this is great. It's an upper, too.
Oh, sativa?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I like those.
I mean, notice how I just start smoking stuff without even asking what it is.
I love that about you. I mean, can it truly... Do you truly enjoy one better than the other? Like, do you like being alert and up and... Or to just knock out and go to bed and
Indica makes me sleepy.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You know, that's the only real difference I know.
And, yeah, you say you just kind of smoke something and you didn't really ask questions. Has anyone ever given you a joint that was actually like laced with something or a kind of weed that gave you a bad reaction?
By the way, take another hit.
If they did, I loved it.
What's in this thing?
You know, because
LSD, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I guess I'm hooked on that now.
Yeah. I mean, I remember times where somebody gave me something and then it was, you know, it was amazing and I got really high, but but yeah, I don't think anybody's ever sought to do any kind of harm, which is just sort of,
well, that's
kind of
like the stoner culture.
Exactly.
Yeah, no one's trying to, you know, no one's, and I know this joke's been probably made a million times, but like when people get drunk they fight, like no one ever gets really high and then like just wants to fuck somebody up.
No, not at all.
Yeah, like
yeah, what's the worst thing someone's, I mean, you hear about those, like, you know, hilarious freakouts, like that couple that was like, we're dying, we're dead. We're dead, time's moving slow, we're dead. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, trying to figure out what went wrong, but I'm
basically
dead.
Basically in the Beetlejuice world right now.
Yeah, but you've never heard of any, like, you know, like, the guy was baked. The wife said she wanted gorditas. He said he wanted double-deckers. He slit her throat. Like, you've never heard that.
Right.
Right?
It's true. And yeah, worst shit goes down, like, when people take Ambien.
It does.
Oh, you know? Yeah. We do the sleepwalking and the sleep eating.
Or you tweet and lose your show.
Yeah.
That was probably the best example of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah.
But also
that,
the sleepwalking.
Yeah. That was fun that Roseanne blamed it on the Ambien.
That was, yeah.
Not a very good commercial for Ambien at that point.
She should have come out. Who's saying blame it on the alcohol? She should have come out with blame it on the Ambien. And try to make light of the situation.
That was Jamie Foxx, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug, what part
That's
of...
That's a hard situation to make light of.
I know. It's tricky. Yes. There's a lot of factors in that.
She does not have the, you know, the subtlety to pull that off.
No.
Is there any...
She doesn't have that Trump subtlety.
Oh, you know? My God.
Yeah.
That would be the name of his cologne.
I mean, she's not even crazy enough to just, you know, to just go out there and say something like, somebody got on my computer and wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that somebody did that, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
She could have said that.
She could have, but that's how crazy she is. She just went, well, yeah, that's what I tweeted.
Yeah, because I feel
just
like...
owned it.
I feel like that's what a lot of people do. Like, I know there was an athlete not too long ago that, like, was trying to send a dick pic to a girl and ended up just posting it on his basic show, on his basic social media.
No way.
And he was like, I got hacked. And you're like, but did you?
Yeah.
But then once you say it.
by the dick pic burglar. Or,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know what his name is.
Yeah.
You know how a mailing list you create will hack you sometimes? Just take your picture and show it to everybody?
Yeah. Didn't say that it wasn't his dick.
Oh, boy.
Just said,
oh,
he didn't. I got hacked.
Oh, so that, yeah.
Yeah, so someone hacked, went through my phone, and then post that photo.
Doug, what part of San Diego did you grow up in?
Moved a couple of times, but the bulk of it was El Cajon. I was born in La Mesa. We lived in San Carlos for a while.
And nice.
Then El Cajon until I was, you know, way too old to be living at home.
So and, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. And then I just... I moved to LA and I never looked back. And
what made you move?
Show business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt as soon as I was old enough to start going to LA on my own. And
yeah,
you know. And
did you know you wanted to do this for a long time?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not this. Because podcasting.
Did you always know when you wanted to come to my apartment?
Did you always want to smoke out with a Jew and a dwarf?
It is weird.
Was that your dream?
It is weird that, you know, that we podcasting isn't something we could have aspired to as youngsters.
No.
Just,
why not?
Just radio.
Just radio.
You know, and I've always liked radio.
Me too.
Mm.
So that worked out good that a new kind of radio came along, because I could never get a career in actual radio.
What would you listen to that kind of got the comedy juices going?
Oh, well, you know, comedy albums were... Oh, thanks. I mean, sorry. comedy albums were...
weed when your things become sorry.
You could have just asked me to pass you the lighter.
Yeah, are you, wait, you seem mid-thoughts. Are, so you, I wanted to be sure.
Are you smoking on the DL?
Yes, sorry.
These... You smoking on the Huey?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to start saying that instead of DL. Just joke, go right to Huey.
You smoking on the Huey?
Do you pronounce the G in there?
Huey?
Huey? Do you do?
What'd
the
you
G?
Say? Huey.
Huey.
See, I heard that at first, and I
let's call DL.
Great, you got his number. Can you just say that and hope that a phone drops from the ceiling?
Does the DL stand for down low?
Down low, Huey?
Yeah.
Oh my God, has anybody ever asked him that? You think Piers Morgan
maybe
did?
Maybe too many people have asked him that.
Yeah, you're right. So finally he just changed it to it?
Yeah.
It was David?
I'm going to start a new podcast, DLH, Doug Loves Huey.
Will you just review Huey?
Yeah. I do like his political humor.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he have a TV show?
He had weekends at the DL on Comedy Central.
Okay.
And but then he had a sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
Hughleys. Like where he Hughleys. Was a dad and yeah. like the whole family thing, like the Cosby Show.
By the way, Keep It on the DL would have been a great name for a sitcom.
Right? But
I guess
were people
weekends.
Saying that yet at that point?
It was the 90s, wasn't it?
I don't know when DL started.
You don't know the origins of the DL
Hughley
show?
The expression or the person.
This has been Hughley Talk on the About Last Night podcast.
First time I ever saw him, we were both on the same night, maybe even the same episode of MTV's Half Hour Comedy Hour.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah.
MTV did comedy.
What?
Before Jersey Shore.
Yeah, they did a few seasons of it. Like, and each season was hosted by a different, like one season was hosted by Colin Quinn. Another one by Pauly Shore, and then another by David Spade.
Was that your first time doing stand-up on TV?
They let me do it one time each season, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then was that your comedy TV debut?
Probably Evening at the Improv, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah. Those old school shows, or maybe even... Actually, my debut was probably for a while here in L.A. on Fox. They had a thing... there was like a half hour of stand-up that came from Igby's over in West L.A., mm-hmm. which has been a jazz club for a long time, I think. Anyway.
You know what show I loved was the Benson Interruption.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Comedy Central loved it so much that they they bought it without a pilot, made six, showed them late at night, and said, you know, thanks for all your hard work. David debuted the show. It was only six episodes,
yeah.
And they debuted the show 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. So then Thanksgiving weekend, and it was on Friday nights at midnight, but Thanksgiving weekend, they're like, well, we're not going to, you know, we don't want to burn off an original episode on Thanksgiving weekend.
Dang.
So they skipped a week.
they skipped a week when people are home and watching TV.
Yeah, yeah, they skipped a week,
yeah,
and then that next DVR. One, they go, the numbers are down a little bit, and I go, yeah, because you skipped a week. People have lost track of it, because it's brand new, and it's right. on late at night on Fridays, and then they, you know, they just sort of let it run out, and you know, all the new episodes, the rest of them played out over December, and then it was done.
I love
that. Clever.
Yeah.
And oh, thanks.
Yeah, it was.
I love the fact that you, like, every project you do, you're just like, well, what do I like to do? I like to smoke weed, so I'm going to do Getting Dug with High. I like smoke weed and talk with my friends. I like to smoke weed.
I like
weed.
To interrupt.
Yeah, I like to interrupt people. So I'm going to have people on, have them do stand-up, and I'm going to interrupt them. And then I like to watch, you know, get high and watch movies, and mm-hmm. so I'm going to get high and watch movies but record it. Like, because now you do the movie interruption,
well,
right?
Well, movie interruption is just a live event. We can't record it because we don't have the rights to the movie that
yeah.
we're making fun of. We barely have permission to make fun of the movie. Sometimes the studios, when they find out what we're going to do, they go, oh, we're not going to rent you that.
Sometimes,
and then we go, oh, it's too bad that's not on DVD.
They say we're not going to rent it to you.
Because most movie theaters now, you know, you can just play a DVD.
And yeah.
It plays like a regular movie.
Exactly.
Oh, rip.
So, and that's
especially
just,
older movies yeah. that didn't have great sound.
Yeah, you're right.
With.
You have one coming up in January, and we want to make sure that we plug that.
Where at?
Oh, yes. This is a big one. It's at Sketchfest in San Francisco.
Whoa. Yes.
SF Sketchfest.
And the movie is?
It's where I've managed over the past 3 years to do two of the 50 Shades movies. And so this will be
the third one.
And in the case of the 50 Shades movies, I've only, the first time I've seen them, the first time I'll be seeing this next one, is with a in an audience with a microphone in my hand. And, you know, in the Castro Theater seats about 1,200 people.
That's an interesting way to watch that film. 1,200
people just laughing their asses out at how stupid those movies are.
They're so dumb, dude.
It's amazing.
It's unreal.
It's crazy how little happens and how long it takes for so little to happen. Yeah. And then the parts that are supposed to be exciting, you don't want to sit in a movie theater and watch a guy spanking some girl.
No. Like,
that's,
and not on a date.
That's
and
for
not
with your on mom. My phone on a plane.
Yeah.
From the makers of Snakes on a Plane, come porn on a plane.
Yeah, so that's going to be at a SF Sketchfest. Are you doing a Doug Loves Movies there?
Yeah, I'm doing a two-day thing where over the weekend, one afternoon at 4:20 is Doug Loves Movies. That's Saturday the 12th and then Sunday the 13th.
Why do you think people love movie trivia so much? Because that show is always so packed, always so popular. You've done a great job of like cultivating this like insane following for it, you know? Like, and people just...
I think that a lot of people just tolerate the movie trivia aspect of it, and they just like the, you know, general movie talk, and that it's mostly comedians, but then sometimes actual...
Ken Jennings?
Actual people like Ken Jennings. I was going to say, like, actual, like, filmmakers, you know,
that
which
too.
Is always fun to have them, and then I get, you know, it's like Brad was saying, it's just so crazy that I love movies, and just by making a podcast about it, I get, you know, invited to screenings all the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Last night
I met
Olivia Wilde at a screening that she and Jason Sudeikis were, and Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon, they all, with some other people, put together this screening for this movie, If Beale Street Could Talk, just to, like, kind of give it a almost like a second premiere, because it's been out for a little while, but it's not... It's such a quiet, small movie. Like his last movie that won Best Picture two years ago, Moonlight.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. Like every shot, every frame, you know, looks like a painting. It's all very beautiful.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. But then it's also, you know, deals with heavy themes and race and whatnot.
Is that kind of movie fun to watch in a packed theater?
Well, it was a little better than but that one I could definitely watch like at a matinee with hardly anybody else there.
Yeah.
There was very few moments that even made the audience gasp or even, you know, maybe a couple of little laughs here and there, but it was didn't really need to be a big audience, but it did, like, you know, that's the screening I went to, is the one that on the invitation it said, you know, Kumail and Mr. Sudeikis would like you to attend. And then, you know, I got there and they were both there and both very, very nice. And that's how I got to meet Olivia. But it was really funny because I was walking in with Jason, like next to Jason, and Olivia was next to him. And she was in a hurry to get in there. She was really excited to get inside the theater. You know, the steps at the ArcLight were going downstairs.
Yeah.
And so Jason Sudeikis is like going, Liv, trying to get her attention. And she's like really wants to go in the theater. But once he does get her attention, it's for her to stop and turn around and meet me. And I'm just like, she's like, hi. And I'm like, hi. And then she turns around and just heads off again. Like, you know, because she was on her way somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
But it was super nice of him to do that.
Yeah. Fuck, you know.
What guy that he knows wouldn't want to meet her?
Have you?
Yeah. Do you want to meet Olivia?
Nah.
I'm good, man.
I'm good. You've had just about everybody on Doug Loves Movies or any of your podcasts. Do you get starstruck anymore?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Especially, I mean, those two last night. That's a power couple.
It is.
Plus, he's got this weird long hairdo right now. So I asked him about that.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, it must be for a movie role or something. Yeah. But I was like, you know, how does that feel having to have that all the time? And he's like, I'm not really a fan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's long hair like that, you know.
Seems like a bummer. Seems like a lot of...
It just gets so dirty so easily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes your head hurt.
Perfect.
I feel like we're on a talk show in the 70s. Fucking radio smoking. Mics and cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's how Phil Donahue started.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you had a John Hamm on your podcast recently.
Yeah, he's been on a bunch of times. He's an old poker buddy of mine.
That's awesome. How does he become a poker buddy? And just, first of all, where is Doug Plays Poker? Where is that show? Right?
Wow.
Come really on.
Great idea.
Smoke weed and play poker? No one could bluff.
This rarely comes up anymore.
Do you have three queens?
Yeah. Yes, go fish.
Wrong game.
I love playing poker when I'm high.
Me too.
And
it's actually the only way I'll play. So don't invite me to your sober poker game.
I got to play in one of those celebrity things in Vegas at the
At
the World Series of Poker.
Nice.
So because I love watching poker on TV, so it's fun to get to play with all those actual guys and gals.
Yeah, it's a lot harder when you don't have the camera telling you what cards they have.
Yeah. But
good question, Brad.
I was just saying.
Or a comment.
It's more of a statement of fact.
Yeah, it is.
But you kind of, in a tournament, you sort of move around from table to table. But at one point, I just got moved to the so-called feature table.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That they show a bunch of the action there on the actual TV show. Yeah. So you could see me on TV playing poker with Charles Barkley, and I knock him out of the tournament.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah, I win the hand that he gets knocked out on.
Man, Doug Benson fucking just took me down.
Is that what he said? Did you hear him?
God damn it, Doug.
He was not familiar with who I am or what I do.
How'd you kick me out?
The TV show, one of the commentators is another old poker buddy of mine. So he would be like, I used to play poker with this guy. But John Hamm is just a mutual friends thing, and he's a not struggling actor, but certainly, before Mad Men came along, he worked, but he was, he needed something to happen.
I'm pretty sure with that jawline, he's always worked in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, hey, we need somebody handsome, let's get him in here. And he's, and he was in his girlfriend, her movie, Kissing Jessica Stein, he had a part in that, and...
It's true, though, that just goes to show you, like, how many opportunities there are and how, like, that pop moment, like...
Yeah.
You need it to then turn into... For people to go, oh yeah, John Hamm, and just now everybody knows.
Yeah, well,
and a show like that.
I mean, this one was even bigger than that in terms of like the fictional character name being like iconic.
Yeah,
you just say anything is so Don Draper, and you know exactly what. Isn't that crazy? What that means.
Yeah. Do you think it's one of the most famous character names of all time? Like I put Don Draper and Fred Flintstone in the same boat.
Yeah, and Tony Soprano and Archie Bunker and. The Fonz.
That's it?
No, that's there's a million of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nope, that's it. Yeah. Homer Simpson.
Yeah, no, there's so many. Yeah. But in a lot of those cases, people don't know the actor who played them.
Yeah,
right.
You know, but Don Draper and John Hamm, I think they're both.
Carl Winslow.
Both doing pretty good. I got off some sort of riff. I can't even remember what it was now, but I just said something to John about, now tell us about the latest Mercedes, and the place went crazy. So he's also got a good sense of humor. You know? He's
like, sure.
He's and he's really, he's crazy witty. Like on one time on Doug Loves Movies, the subject of Philadelphia came up, the city. Mm-hmm. But, it's Doug Loves Movies, so I'm always making movies jokes.
Sure.
And I go, that's where AIDS was invented. And and then John Hamm, without missing a beat, goes, no, Doug, that's where it was perfected.
Wow.
Well done, sir. What a well player. Done, sir. He's not allowed to be that good looking and funny.
I know.
But he might have had a second to think, because mine probably got like a slow built laughter.
That's still a good line.
That's great.
See, now I'm mad because most of the
You're a madman?
Yeah, I'm a madman. I'm mad and a half man.
From the makers of Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, yeah. Because like you're not allowed, because you're either funny or you're good looking. You're not both.
Can't get both.
Yeah, that sort of is,
It's not fair.
Yeah.
Wait, so you haven't gotten starstruck then? Is that it?
That was the question.
That was the original question. Yeah.
I think
if someone reached out to you, like, what if Obama was like, Doug, want to play? All right, man. I knew that impression wasn't going to happen as soon as I started.
I do a mean Obama impression, but it's just one word.
Let's hear it.
And it's what he says when, somebody says something to him that he doesn't want to hear and mm-hmm. he's not having it, he goes, listen.
Dude,
that's, it was like having him right there in your ears, wasn't
way
it?
Way better than I thought it was going to be.
I know, right? It's yeah. crazy.
Well, yeah.
Wow. How did you find access to that part of your... So wait,
because he says it so much that yeah. I just got used to hearing him say it, and then I just started saying it. And,
well, yeah, like...
And the other one is you go, look.
Hey, Doug's an impressionist. Yeah. How do you know?
Didn't know.
Have you heard of Obama?
Also, this guy, Ross Marquand, does these yes. micro impressions.
Yes.
And
yes.
He does a bunch of them and he's great at it. But it just got me excited about that concept because I'm not great at impressions, but I think I can get little,
you get one word,
little short ones.
Yeah.
Or find something, a sound that just sounds like that person.
Yeah.
Wait, let's all
like
do that.
What they would normally okay. sound like.
Let's all do that. Let's pick an actor. Each person will each go around trying to do the micro impression of that. Okay. You ready?
But you pick your own actor?
No. Like Brad.
I'm going to tell you
okay.
one.
Okay.
Okay.
You tell him one.
Yeah.
He tells me one.
Yes.
Should we all go at the same time?
Oh, boy.
Ready? One.
Oh, wait. Two. Wait, we got, who's the actor?
No. We tell everyone at the same time. Oh,
okay.
We
have point to the person who yeah. has to do it.
Okay.
You're mine.
Yeah.
By the way,
I feel like this is a Quentin Tarantino movie where we all have guns on each other.
But we have tattle guns.
Yeah.
We're little kids. You did it. All right.
I think you need at least one full Mexican for a Mexican standoff. Okay.
I had my fortune cookie last night.
One, two, three. Nicholas Cage.
Oh,
what'd
God.
You say?
I said Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, okay.
By the way, I said Nicholas Cage. Of course, what did you say would follow that?
Right, like, but I none heard of yours. Us heard.
You did?
Yeah.
Who?
I forgot it already.
Well, yeah, because you said to me Michael J. Fox.
I said Keira Sedgwick.
Michael J. Fox.
Okay, no, I did say that.
Yeah, all right. Michael J. Fox, that's kind of mean.
Why? I'm thinking Family Ties Fox.
It's more of a visual impression.
I'm also okay.
Right. It's hard, I'm just saying it's hard to do him without like say, sounding like you're attacking his ailment.
No.
I think you're doing Back to the Future.
I can do it.
That's what I was thinking of. Back to the Future, Michael.
Okay, I think I could do that one too.
All right, go.
I think we should all take a shot at each other.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
So that's the first one up.
So let's all do Michael J. Fox.
When we work on the pitch, this can't be. Because what if we were in the room and then just looked over and saw nine executives just going,
what? Okay, there's a show.
Do they know we've walked in?
Yeah.
All right.
So
Michael J. Fox.
Here we go.
Go ahead, Brad.
Doc.
Yeah. See, I was gonna say Doc too. That's,
yeah.
That's,
okay.
That's the word.
But the voice didn't sound like him. So that's what we're judging. We're judging the impression, yeah. The micro.
Doc. Okay. There you go. That's a little better. I think so.
That's like a guy who can't do a Yogi Bear going boo boo. You know what I'm saying? Like you just said what he said.
He also always had this thing where his voice was always cracking, or he sounded like he was about to cry. Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See that.
Doc.
Okay, now let me try. Ready? I was about to say Zoinks, but that's Scooby or Shaggy.
Like Zoinks, Scooby.
All right, here we go. All right, Michael, ready? Here we go. Here we go.
Time machine.
That felt like someone was choking Michael J. Fox, and he had to say two words to get him to let go. And those two words were time machine. He's like, time machine.
Tell me how you got here. All right. What was the next one?
Yeah. What was the one you said to Adam?
Biff.
Do a Biff. Do Tom Wilson.
Take your hands off her, Biff.
There you go.
All right. What are we doing now?
Well, it's whoever you said to Adam, because he said Michael J. Fox to me. I said
Liam Neeson. Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
I got you. Ready?
Okay. Go.
Why?
And you could do a setup to it too. You could be like,
okay.
Like the one I do in my act is I say, okay. This is Christopher Walken finding out his flight's been canceled. Why?
Okay, yeah, yeah. All right, that's good. All right. So this is Nicolas Cage stubbing his toe on the dishwasher. Ouch.
This is... Is that funny because I'm stoned, or is that funny because it's funny?
Maybe a little both. A little both. That's my new closer.
No,
that's my new closer.
Everything's more fun when you're high.
It is.
This is.
This game rules.
How much more fun?
This game rules. Yes. By the way,
this is Nicolas Cage putting his hand inside of a snowman without a glove on.
Oh boy, that could have gone bad.
Nicolas Cage.
Wait, you think it went good?
Nicolas Cage putting his hand inside a snowman without wearing a glove.
Oh. He has to have somewhat steely reserve.
Dude, your fucking face is so much of that. That's 84% is the Cage face.
You got to do the Cage face.
That was so good, man.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
that was it. You just did the impression.
What? Nicolas Cage being impressed at Brad's impression on the podcast. What's, oh boy.
What's the girl's name in what's Laura Dern's name in
Amy. They're chasing her.
No. What's Laura Dern's name in Crazy
Rich Asians?
Wild at Heart.
Oh. Crazy what?
Wild at Heart.
Oh. I will find it out.
He's got like, it's like Lulu or something like okay. that. Okay.
So this is what Nicolas Cage saying her name.
What? I'm just having a great time.
I just want to know what her name is. You don't need to know what I'm going to do with it.
Laura Dern's
the
character,
the cop who comes in to play this game, says
Wild
that.
At Heart.
Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, on that, I'd like to piggyback on that and go, what's the name of the girl
Lula,
who played the
Lula Pace Fortune?
Lula.
Yeah, Lula.
Okay. This is Nicolas Cage in Wild at Heart when he's disappointed okay. in his girlfriend.
Lula.
Oh shit.
Okay. Did you guys see Mandy?
More?
No,
concert?
No, there's a movie called Mandy starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no.
I did not.
And very early on in the movie, this isn't a spoiler, one of you guys play his wife.
Okay.
Just you'll know what to say.
Okay, I'll be the wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada who?
Eric Estrada from Chips.
That's a line in the movie?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I saw a matinee where it was me and my girlfriend, and then like another row had several comics in it, including Brent Weinbach and Jacob Seroff. And that row and my row were the only places that lost their minds over that.
Sure.
And I was like, oh my God, this movie's going to be so fucking funny if he says shit like that. While it's also this, you know, satanic horror, you know, awful serial killer thing.
What would be your favorite Nicolas Cage movie? If you had to watch one Nicolas Cage movie the rest of your life?
Well, I think I might. That was more that sound like Reagan.
Well, I'd probably watch Con Air.
But that's the thing about these micro impressions is like everybody can do Reagan saying whale.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even necessarily say it that much, I don't think.
Right, but
it just took that. One famous, somebody on SNL or like, somebody.
Yeah, SNL or Robin Williams or someone.
Well, Dana Carvey's George Bush. I mean,
he never even said that, the thing that
wouldn't
he said.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. What a catchphrase.
Yeah, I know. Interesting that you bring it up during his funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Timing.
You didn't hear about Dana Carvey?
Oh, God. wait, so who's...
I
what's
love
the last
that guy, by the way.
Dana's a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Oh, George H.W.
Oh, gotcha.
He loved it when he said, read my lips.
Yeah. Oh, where are we on the impressions?
Liam Neeson.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Liam Neeson. Great. Who's going to go first with this one? Doug's getting into his space. You have one?
I'm just trying to think of what.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of know what noises he makes.
He's got sort of an Irish brogue.
Yeah.
I got one.
But okay. That's the great thing about these. You don't have to be good with accents if you only say one word.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, here goes Adam.
Okay.
Is there
a setup? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, this is Liam Neeson going to a game night at a new friend's house. Mm-hmm. And he's already kind of rolling the dice with like, you know, do I want to go here? Yeah, I've been living in this new town.
About to take
it. I need some more people to chill with. You know, I'm having a tough time as Liam Neeson being social.
Sure.
So he goes over there, and the guy who's bringing over the game apples to apples, when they open it up, realize that most of the cards are gone and the timer is gone, and like, this game's been around for a minute at this house, and they lost some shit from it and came over with it.
Okay.
And right, Liam Neeson recognized.
Time we have, Doug. Thanks.
No, no, listen. And Liam Neeson, fuck you. Liam Neeson recognizes this, and then so he sees it. Basically, the moment the guy goes.
Wait, listen. I forgot where we started.
Basically,
with this.
The moment the guy goes.
I don't think you remember either.
The moment the guy takes off the box of apples to apples, and everyone realizes that there's nothing there, and then the guy goes, damn, my bad. And then Liam, this is my impression of him, seeing that apples to apples isn't there.
Hearing the guy say my bad.
Yeah. No, no, yeah. Yeah. Here's Liam reacting to that, to the guy saying my bad about apples to apples not being there. This is bullshit.
Now, this is my impression of Liam Neeson having to sit through a long, winding setup that's unnecessary. This is bullshit. No, but I do want to do one.
Okay.
That sounded way better in my head before I said it. Just for the jury to know that.
I think you fell asleep halfway and then woke up and forgot where you started.
If I'm on high trial, I want the jury to know that that sounded better up here.
I mean, this is, don't say high trial. We have the judge of high court.
Oh, yeah.
Right here with us.
Wow.
I forgot my gavel, though. This is Liam Neeson winning a game at game night.
Okay.
Yeah. Lotzer.
Ouch. Ouch.
See, I had that long setup of yours to think of that.
Oh, my stomach hurts.
I was like, just the whole time I was going, don't say Yahtzee. Don't say Yahtzee. Oh, good. Apples to apples. Okay. Talk about that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Set you up perfectly.
That was fucking worth
the price of admission to this apartment,
which was free.
No. Hey.
All right. Here is. I guess I gotta go. How the fuck did I follow that?
That was great, dude.
That was amazing. Here is. Oh. Liam Neeson. In case you guys were unsure, here's Liam Neeson being asked what he would like to drink at a sushi bar.
I already know the answer.
I gotta stop laughing.
Is it Yahtzee?
Diet Coke.
Oh shit!
All right,
classic misdirect.
This is gonna be
great.
You are more than welcome to steal this game for Doug Loves Movies. Please do.
I love it.
That's
fun.
Everybody has a celebrity on their head, and you have to do a one-word impression.
Oh, on the head. That's a great idea. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And you could
get so
obscure.
There's no winning and losing. There's
no.
Just fun.
No,
because we also
fun.
Picked.
It's just fun.
There's levels to it. I think you could even have like. categories in the rounds, because that was all very recognizable people. But what if one of them is like Elizabeth Berkley?
You just have to say I'm so excited.
You know,
that's it.
You know what I'm saying? Then they get real specific, because then you're preying on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good Nomi Malone line.
Oh, from Showgirls.
Yeah,
I love that. I knew the character
that's
name.
That's a great
no,
movie.
No, I've never seen the movie more than 32 times.
That's fine. It's a great movie.
Fantastic.
I mean, feels like you might have to make everybody stick to their own gender.
Yeah.
Because it'll be hard for women to do an impression.
Because you want it to kind of sound like it. Oh, here's a good one. Owen Wilson would probably be a great one for a lot of things.
Oh, for anything. Okay.
Okay, so this is Owen Wilson.
All right.
Seeing something, can't tell quite what it is, something interesting in the distance.
Did he blow a trumpet?
This is
I want to see what he saw.
Yeah. I mean,
was it Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
That's actually great. Edit that into Sam Neill. Like looking up on the thing when he pulls up on the Jeep and just
taking
have him go
off the glasses.
Wow.
He takes off the glasses so dramatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he actually goes like this.
Yeah. Holy shit, that's so good. Holy shit, that's so good.
He's probably the only person in history ever to do hand on the opposite side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, Spielberg wanted that real, like, you know, taking off the glass. This is a dinosaur.
Yeah. You can't.
This guy loves dinosaurs. Yeah. I love how there always has to be that extra, yeah, you know, yeah, like Castaway. That guy loved to be on time.
Right. I mean, that's not like him to be 4 days late.
Yeah.
He always loved to be on time. Everyone knows that.
Oh, you know, they just hammer that over your head for a while before getting to the actual story.
Yeah. Now, I have a legit question for you. Okay.
You good for about 5 or 10 more?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
When you're like the
joints?
Yeah.
Rounds.
When you because I know people that are auto mechanics and they can't watch any movie where a guy is working on cars because they do stuff wrong. Yeah. So like when you watch pot movies, are you ever just like, it's bullshit?
Well, unfortunately, they'll even admit that it's bullshit. Like Harold and Kumar, those guys don't smoke weed.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, and they let people know that. I don't know why people just be like, okay, well, I'm not going to watch that movie then.
Yeah.
If that movie.
Yeah, like have you play a stoner?
Hey, that's a great idea. No, those guys are fine. I'm not mad at them for that. But there just is a lot, so much... you know, they're always not really smoking weed.
Right.
But they do a good job, fair, reasonable enough job of making it look like they're smoking weed whenever they are. And certainly when Snoop's smoking weed in the scene, I imagine that's the real deal.
Have you smoked with him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
what was
like,
that like?
That's like the Mount. That's like, if it's you, Snoop, and Cheech and Chong, I think that's the Mount Rushmore of stoners.
I think so.
Yeah, I've smoked with all those guys And don't forget Willie Nelson.
Yeah, redheaded stranger. How could I forget?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel arranged a smoke date for me and Willie Nelson, where you know, he knew that Willie Nelson was going to be on his show, and then he just had somebody bring me to his trailer, and he just said, "Hey, Willie, this guy's cool. You should meet him and smoke with him." And we might be
the coolest thing I've.
We both had a vape pen, so we just shared vape pens. We just kept passing the two pens back and forth.
So you've shared saliva with Willie Nelson.
Well, you know, he's pretty dry. He's a dry old man.
Is there any celebrity that you haven't smoked with that you would like to smoke with?
You know, it's kind of like any celebrity when you find yourself smoking with them, there's just like it's super exciting.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh yeah.
So anybody that I like, I would also like to smoke with, but sometimes it's just not you know, the situation's not right for it. Like when I met John C. Reilly, he was like very clear to me that, you know, he knew me from Super Jaime, and that you know, he obviously enjoys weed himself, but you know, wasn't like we were at like a party where I couldn't just be like, oh, let's fucking smoke, dude.
I feel like though you've reached like that Snoop Dogg status where like Snoop could be at the Oscars and start smoking a joint, everyone be like, yeah, that's Snoop,
right?
Like, I feel like you could do that too. I think you could bust
like if
out
a porn star starts
want.
Playing with themselves at the porn awards.
Yeah.
No one's going to say, "Hey, what are you doing?"
You know what?
They can pan to you.
Unfortunately, you're wrong in both cases, because you know the person that's going to come over to me and say you can't smoke in here doesn't even know who I am. You know, they're just just somebody that works at a theater, and you know, it doesn't follow comedy. You know, and then
hates happiness.
And
apparently.
And the porn awards, they go out of their way to like tape up all the nipples and like.
Do they really?
Yeah, and
that's disappointing.
And there's no like no Vegas. They do it in Vegas, and Vegas is more strict than almost anywhere in terms of like sexual acts.
How do you know this? Did you host them?
I never did. I haven't been asked, but I would say no if I've been asked. But if asked, but I've been a presenter a couple of times.
For what award?
Which is a blast. You know, you go out there and I go out there with like two girls and we give out like two or three awards. And then
is there like a little monologue? Like
they
pre-award?
Cut some of it out so it doesn't all get in the broadcast. Like I gave out a best transsexual performer award, and then they just, you know, buried that one for the
did you have
the TV show.
But did you have transphobic apparently?
Exactly.
Oh shit. That's
well, bad. I mean, or they worry that their audience is, you know,
right.
The people that watch the AVNs want, you know, pretty much want just the girls.
Yeah.
they don't linger on the awards for the men, but they do give some out.
So. Do they have copy before the awards? Like, you know, like if the Oscars are doing best cinematography, they go, every movie, cut, Adam, it's every movie. Okay. every movie needs a camera. You know, like, like for your award that you were doing, was it like, love is a thing of the past.
They write every my ass. Friend Dan. You guys know Dan Van Kirk?
Yes.
Yeah, he writes for the last few years, he's been the writer of the awards.
Oh, for the porn awards?
Yeah, so he has to think of the jokes for them to say. But they also have to run them by, you know, there's, you know, like with anything, there's people in charge that these things have to be run by. And so, you know, they hire somebody funny, but then they don't trust, then they second guess everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's every time I've written for an award show, they're like, can this be funnier? And I'm like, well, can award shows be funnier?
Yeah.
Because the answer is no. Like, a whole night of home runs is not going to happen at an award show. No. There's got to be some jokes to just fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you might as well just pick the ones you think are funny.
Yeah.
And you know.
And they just announced it yesterday.
Trust the performers and the writers.
Yes. You know? To deliver. Yeah, all right.
They just announced it yesterday. Kevin Hart
is going to host the
Oscars.
AVNs.
Wait, real quick. Everyone do Arnold Schwarzenegger finding out he's about to host the AVNs.
Okay.
Don't even think. Just do it. Brad.
Yes.
Doug.
Yahtzee.
Son of a bitch. Goddamn closer.
Kevin Hart hosting the Oscars.
That'll be exciting.
But hosting the Oscars is kind of a thankless job. Like,
exactly.
For the exact reasons you just said, where it's, the Oscars is 3.5 hours.
I read that Kevin Hart got the job 10 minutes after reading an article about how nobody wants to do it.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in every movie and everything. Might as well host the Oscars.
Yeah, and he, you know, he brings a lot of energy to it. I just think that I hope that maybe he gets some writers that, like, you know, give him like a solid jokes that he says the way they need to be said, because he
performs.
When I've seen him host award shows in the past, he makes it conversational, which is fine when you're doing the MTV awards and there's a bunch of screaming kids in front of you that aren't paying attention anyway.
Right.
But when you're doing a monologue at the beginning of an award show,
you
got to land lines that get laughs. Yes. You can't just do, like, you know,
riffing and stream of consciousness
and running around on stage.
You're so right. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. Maybe he won't yield to the format and just sort of do his comedy the way he does it. And maybe people will love it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you excited for the, because we're getting into the holiday season. So are you?
I was just thinking
for the,
that.
Yeah. For
that was going to be my question.
Movies?
Isn't that crazy?
Listen, about, we got high together.
You're going to ask me about Christmas movies or about movies that come out around Christmas?
I was going to ask for movies that come out around Christmas.
Yeah, because that's all the, like, most serious shit that's the, you know,
going for the Oscar
that's
wins.
Trying to get Oscars. You got to sit through all that stuff when you're supposed to be having a nice holiday season. Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that movie about the mass shooting at a school in Sweden.
Fuck.
Yeah, where, I hope I said the right place, but they had a terrible shooting over there that took place on July 22 of whatever year it was. And so the movie's called July 22. It's the same guy who did all the Bourne movies. And,
that's an actual movie?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That sounds heavy as shit.
That's probably already getting, like, a lot of acclaim.
But he did that, you know, United...
93.
United 93.
93. I can never think of that number.
It's okay.
I'm always messing up and saying things like United 311. United 420.
Also a great band.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, I'm trying to think, like, so...
There's big super fun ones, too, right? Like, there's the... There's that Holmes movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Holmes and Watson's coming out, and that's I can't imagine that not being amazing, because those guys are so funny together.
It's got to be.
And it's just silly that they would play those parts.
Yes.
Are they going to do British accents?
Oh, my God. I
think they're going to try, and I think that's going to be part of the charm.
Or maybe
they're
not
going to be good at it.
Or maybe they'll just be their, you know, stepbrother-esque characters.
John C. Reilly's amazing.
Like, he's unbelievable.
He will show up in a movie for, like, the most, like, pointless role. Just to play something different, you know, just to, like...
You see The Year of the Dog with Molly Shannon?
Yeah.
And him and Peter Sarsgaard?
Yeah.
I love that movie. He's so good in that.
Wow, that is really... That's a weird pull.
Yeah. I know. I got an obscure collection back here.
But I was just telling, did you guys see The Lobster?
Oh, that was with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That was a...
There's a scene where John C. Reilly, something awful happens to him. And I'm just like, as an actor, that's a real interesting choice to be like, oh, I'll be that guy in that movie that that awful thing happens to.
Jesus. You think he sought that out? He was like, it's time to mix it up.
Or he wanted to work with that director, with Colin Farrell or whatever, because it's that Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh, boy.
His name, I can never get it right. I'm going to have to, because now he's going to be even more of a player, because Lobster... you know, got a lot of awards heat and it got nominated for best screenplay.
That's
and
amazing.
Then his next movie, Killing of a Sacred Deer, was another creepy ass movie that got you know, some attention. Nicole Kidman was in it with Colin Farrell, and then now this new one, The Favorite, with Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, is
looks like a lot of fun.
I just saw it the other day, and it is fun, but it's also
heavy.
Fucked up.
Fuck.
Oh,
like the guy is not good to animals. Hmm. You have to watch something bad happen to an animal in every one of his movies.
Oh,
that's not fun.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's not good on the date.
Unless it's animal crackers.
And I used to do on Douglas Movies, I used to do a segment not for emetophobes, which is, you know, people who don't want to see anyone else see or hear someone vomiting. And, you know, which I sort of am. I always think it's unnecessary when almost every time it's in a movie or TV show.
I like SNL comedic, like, over the top comedic vomiting.
Oh yeah, like if they set up like a fire hose worth of vomit coming out of the person,
then it's fine.
That could be kind of amusing. But like even like in Stand By Me, they sort of do projectile vomiting of pie.
Yeah,
and it's just I could just move to the next scene.
Or like if it's like Team America vomit, great. Also,
well, that's out of also a puppet. Puppets. That's fun. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah,
but for the most part, it's just like, and it happens a lot in movies because it's dramatic. It's that shows the person's under stress or on drugs or drunk or, you know what I mean. There's so many reasons for them to throw up.
Yeah,
and so it happens all the time. And I just gave up on naming the movies that have it, because I would warn them, you know, this movie's not for you. But I gave up on doing it because every movie I just sit there going, oh, well, there it is. There's the volume.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
There was no vomit in Super Jaime, right?
I think Pixar movies are the only ones that don't have any vomiting. No, I never threw up in Super Jaime, I don't think. Like, I was a little sick during part of it, but
you were. I love that movie so much. Documentary, you would call it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was all real.
What was the what did you feel the what did you enjoy the most about smoking and then not smoking? Like just the two, like what was the biggest contrast? Like,
well, the only thing I enjoyed about not smoking was that we were making a movie about it. Like, I knew I was going to be able to smoke again, and I knew that I could show the people that not smoking wasn't going to
affect you.
I mean, you know, I guess if I had been quitting for good, then maybe it would have been played out a little differently. But knowing that I'm going to get to smoke, and not only am I going to get to smoke, I'm going to get to smoke constantly for 30 days.
Yeah,
like that was the part I was more worried about. Was just like, am I just going to be a mess if I'm just smoking all the time?
Whoa, yeah.
But
you were okay.
I got through it okay. And you know, lots of edibles and stuff too. Like it was just nonstop. Just, and if I was awake, I was high. Basically, was the premise.
I forget. Were your dreams better sober?
They don't exist. I mean, when you're high, you don't have dreams, and when you're sober, you do, and I hate them. I never wake up from a dream going, that was fun, or that was cool, or that told me a lot about myself.
Do you remember the first time you smoked?
No.
So it wasn't I know. Moment.
I got the idea of it. I mean, I you know.
Do you remember the last time you choked?
I got it. Yes. Wait, on stage or here in this room? No, but... it was with comedians. It was definitely like I got drawn into it with San Francisco comedians specifically. Like I give Brian Posehn and Greg Proops, I did a whole weekend of shows with them up there at the old Punchline in Walnut Creek. And I think we smoked the whole time that weekend. So that was kind of probably what put me in the game.
Well, that and you kind of, the first time you smoked, if that's the first time you really got high, like that's pretty solid first time around comics, and especially comics that funny.
Yeah, it's just going to be fun. I mean, they make it look good, and they still do. You know, like Brian quit for a while when he had a kid, you know, and I get that. I don't like it, but I get it.
Now, being high dad, I mean, I think you might go into paranoia with, like, the kid, you know.
Yeah, that. And
but it seems like it'd be a lot of fun.
Talk about projectile vomiting, that happens a lot with the baby.
Oh my god, yeah, I could
I've been high around my nieces before.
So maybe I would need to be high. Change a diaper.
I made up a bedtime story to my nieces once when they were like six when I was a little high. And boy, was it just like the most, the biggest adventure any of us had ever been on. It was like, they were so into it. And I wish I could remember. I should have recorded it on my phone.
Good story, Adam.
I think it was a great story. It was heartfelt. Fuck you, dude. All right.
I just forgot what we were talking about.
The movie Junior.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I liked the first... But the 30 days of not smoking, the thing that got me through that is that I, you know, I knew I was making a movie and knew I was trying to make a point.
Right.
And then the whole time it was 30 days of smoking was just, you know... it was too much smoking for sure, but it was also, again, all heightened by the fact that I knew that we were capturing all of it. You know, like the second time we did a bunch of tests twice, and the second time we go to a psychic guy to see if I'm psychic or not, or see if I'm more psychic when I'm high.
Which was the best.
Like, yeah, because the first time I did the test, I just, you know, did poorly. It's just a guy holding up cards with symbols on the back.
Right.
And you know what symbols to choose from. Like, whenever you see it in, like, a movie like Ghostbusters or something, the person that's guessing doesn't even get to know what the options are.
Yeah.
I knew what the options were.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
we should set up. This is Super High Me if you haven't seen it. It's available still, right? Netflix, Amazon.
Netflix. It's the first Netflix movie ever.
For real?
Yeah, they made it.
That's
like Netflix produced Super High.
It was their first ever.
And then they didn't make movies for many years. And now they're fully in the movie game.
Do you ever go back to them like, hey guys, I kind of launched your empire?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's why they bought my special Sight Unseen.
That's big time.
Yeah, they're like, Doug Benson has a special. They're like, okay.
Well, it's the best combo of fun and fascinating that I feel like I've seen in a long time. And for people who haven't seen it, you need to. I forget, is it 30 days without smoking first?
Yeah, no smoking, and then 30 days of constant smoming. And then at the end, a little coda where I drink a little bit because I don't drink alcohol during the whole 60 days.
Right.
And that was the hardest part. The hardest part was not drinking.
Wow. And then you did tests, right? It was like there was a lot of intelligence tests and then memory tests.
Oh, that's what we were saying. Yeah. We did a psychic test. And, you know, we did it with these people that have yet to find someone who they legitimately think is psychic. They just, they're just, what they do is disprove every psychic. They just go and disprove it. So the first time I did it, not high.
Right.
Got one or two right just by guessing correctly or whatever of the five or whatever symbols they showed me. They go, yeah, you're not psychic. So then, we go back to the same place when I was high and, I'm sitting in the car, and you know they film you everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm sitting in the car, and I just decided to, you know, like I knew we were making a movie the whole time. Like I would think in terms of, you know, what could happen in the movie that would be cool. So I just said, you know what, I am feeling more psychic today. The first thing's going to be a star. And then we get there. We don't rig anything at all. The first one's a star. And then we get to just put that in the documentary because that really happened.
Oh, man.
But that's I was just goofing around. Like, well, if I get it right, it'll be amazing. If I get it wrong, yeah, of course I'm going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get it wrong.
And we can not show that in the movie. You don't have to show me saying that in the movie.
Yeah.
That's insane, right?
Perfect. So why not?
Did you feel a little like playing the lottery that day?
Well, the crew was all just like, what? You know, like they all thought, wow, you really are, you know, psychic.
They started asking you questions. Where will my next job be?
How long am I going to live? Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you're not going to have a next job.
because
you're about 10, to
die. 9.
You're about to choke on a McGriggle. Fuck, I can't say it again. I can't say it again.
Rob Riggle loves McGriggles.
Is that your vocal warm-up? Rob Riggle loves McGriggles. I thought about if John Goodman's vocal warm-up was good man, good, good man, good. All right, so Doug, when when you do live shows or stand-up, what do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy the cohesive, collaborative, you know, or getting Doug with high? Like, would you, or being solo on stage?
I'd rather fuck around on stage with other people. I don't want to be like in a team act. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm so jealous of that Dave Attell and Jeff Ross have that show where they it's like three episodes, I guess, yeah, right?
Bumping mics.
And they get to fucking just be on stage with a pumped crowd, cameras rolling, yeah, mm-hmm, and just fuck around. And then, you know, of course they're going to edit out anything that doesn't work, but yeah, they're both so hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really jealous of that format, because that's essentially what the Benson interruption was, but just with a bunch of people and me.
Right.
You know, and this show is just the two of them together. But then they also bring people on stage and fuck with them.
Right.
And they are often funny people.
Like, yeah, which is
Bob
cool.
Saget does it, right?
Yeah.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, they all...
Yeah,
they,
I mean, that whole thing just... That looks like so much fun.
What about taping?
At the very least, they better fucking put me on there if they get more episodes.
That'd be amazing. Right? Well, I mean, doing a run of...
They fucking better. I would talk that way to Jeff or Dave.
All right.
You motherfuckers.
Dave Attell would be a fun one. So now we got to go around and do Dave Attell doing something.
Dave Attell.
Is this how we're going to end?
I mean,
I think we should end with one more game. Okay. Is Dave Attell the voice? I think there's... I mean...
Yeah.
I can do an Attell. Let's do one more after that.
You can do an Attell?
I mean, not really.
I sometimes... Every once in a while, I'll find myself falling into like kind of his rhythm, and then I'll try to lean into it, but I haven't really gotten an actual impression down.
Here's Dave Attell answering the door for trick-or-treaters.
I think I know what's coming.
Boo!
I'm going to have the best one. Do you want to go next?
No, you go next.
You want to go last after the best one.
Fuck. No.
Do you have one? I love how you had to say it twice.
I got bullied in my own apartment. all right. Here's Dave Attell.
You're trying to make me forget mine.
Here's Dave Attell being a little too high on the plane, trying to make small talk with the pilot when he sees the cockpit doors ajar. Got any peanuts?
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. I'm pretty impressed. This is Dave Attell being reunited with an Amish friend. Jedediah!
You're right. Yours was the best one.
You won.
He's always amazing. Like really... He says funny names funny.
He does.
Yeah, like that.
You know, it's not that my dad wanted to hit me when I was a kid. It was just the only way he could get hard.
He's the best.
He's so funny.
Has he been on any of your shows?
He did. He doesn't smoke weed, but he did Doug Loves Movies in...
Oh, I bet he's so good.
In D.C.
He's so good, right?
He sat on one end so that he could get up occasionally and go smoke a cigarette.
Oh, that's real.
But whenever it got to be his turn, he was always there and hilarious.
Oh, God.
Not great at movie trivia, but... Mm-hmm. He was just so funny. It was so great to have him. And he had a good time, you know, because I always feel like he would, like, you know, maybe do something like that to be nice and then, you know, not be into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's super nice. Like, his persona on stage, he's, you know, he can be kind of,
prickly? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like seem like a curmudgeon, but
he's not. He's just.
He's kind of a quiet, private guy, but he's also just mm-hmm. hilarious. And he then that weekend he had headliner shows that weekend, so he'd just be like, you know, come out on stage during my set and
cool.
And I just go out there with a microphone. We just talk to each other and, you know, and audience fuck with the audience. Pretty much what he does with Jeff, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
that's why they got to get you in.
So
there.
Much fun.
Yeah.
Already been road tested. I mean, they both just stand there and just do weed jokes all night long.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, yeah. That is the dream.
I like jokes about, how people, like, not necessarily mean jokes, but just accurate ones about what people are wearing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So
like
good.
Those kind of burns
yes.
over a person's outfit are so much fun.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember which
like
ones.
A you look like a this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like what? You look like a guy who
toll booth driver on a bender.
At one point, in front of an audience, he says to me, he goes, "You're over 40, right?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Why don't you dress like it?" Maybe not. That wasn't even the punchline. It was something more clever than that. But it was.
I think he said to Dave, "Like you look like you look like the guy." Oh, that's not Jeff.
Is that Ross. Ray Romano and David?
I was trying to do Jeff Richards. Does a really good Jeff
okay.
Ross.
Okay, so this is Ray Romano
doing Jeff Ross,
finding out that the TV show.
Is that ending?
What was that HBO show he was on? Vinyl.
Vinyl. Yeah.
They finding out that Vinyl got canceled.
Okay.
This is Ray Romano finding out Vinyl got canceled.
This is Ray Romano finding out the Mumford and Sons live Christmas show has been moved to a date in which he cannot attend.
That sounds unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay. So he had tickets.
Yeah,
right. But first of all, this is a two-parter. Here's Ray Romano finding out that his tickets came early.
Yeah.
And here's him finding out that he can't go now. Brad?
Here is Ray Romano being asked what kind of coffee he would like.
Oh, see, this is going to be good. You just took the whole disappointment noise.
Ray Romano being asked.
You got to do one more.
What kind of coffee he likes?
Mocha.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Marie.
Oh, yeah, that's Marie. Is that the name of his wife in the show?
I think so, yeah.
Because then it could be, what's the name of his, who was his favorite calendar? Marie.
Marie.
Yeah.
Oh. I just got that joke.
The diner.
Here's Ray Romano hearing that joke.
Oh.
Here's Brad Garrett
walking in on Ray Romano taking a shit.
Oh. Come on, man, I'm pooping.
Wait, that sounded that? Like you were going to do Brad Garrett? Garrett.
Yeah,
you said this is you Brad, said, Garrett.
Brad Garrett.
Yeah, and okay, here's Ray
when
Romano.
He walks in. On.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
all right.
Because if you do Brad Garrett, you got to go. Here's Brad Garrett catching.
All right,
Ray Romano.
Jesus, Ray
taking a shit.
Lock the door.
Nobody has a voice deep enough to do Brad Garrett.
I know.
You pooping.
If that's not your catchphrase in 20 years, then I quit comedy.
Come on to Brad Williams taping of his new comedy special. Brad Williams, you boo.
And every 20 seconds in the trailer, just Brad goes, "You're telling me you're not." And
you're telling me you're not pooping?
With all the jokes you've come to learn and love.
So, you pooping on a subway?
Subway.
Sponsor.
You pooping on a subway? It's not even a bit.
What's their Subway's? What's their
$5 furlong?
What's their? Oh. Don't they have a
Eat Fresh?
Eat Fresh.
Eat Fresh. There you go.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve
Devo, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.